around verses 5 says, let the people praise you, O God. It says, let all, everybody say all, let all the people praise you. Then it says, after the people praise, the earth will release its increase. Now, one of the translations says, the earth will release its harvest. I don't know about you, but if my praise on a corporate level can release the harvest that God has for me for my life, I think we need to get to praising. It didn't say let some of the people praise him. He said let all the people praise him. Come on. If my harvest is dependent on your praise, I need you to raise your hands up and say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I praise you. Lord, we glorify you. Glory in Jesus' mighty name. Can everybody say amen? Grab your Bibles or whatever you have to access the Word of God. I want to jump right into the Word today. Hold it up real high. Repeat after me. Say, this is God's Word. Not Pastor Eben's Word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. Before I jump into the word, just two quick short announcements. The first one is we have prayer and fasting this week. Yes. And on Friday, we are having a praise prayer, and I'm going to add prophetic night. I think it's at 7. Is it at 7 p.m.? So I need you to come out. End your fast with praise. So at 7 o'clock, I want you to meet us here. That's the first announcement. The second one, it's going to play at the announcements at the end. So 2 weeks from now, we will be doing a confirmation and ordination at 7 o'clock on the 25th. Now, confirmation is for my apostleship, but the ordination, there are people among you who I'm going to be ordaining additional pastors, and for the first time in our history, we're going to be ordaining ministers. I want you to come, yes. Because if a church is growing, we need more people ministering to people the word of God. Amen? So that's going to be taking place on the 25th. And I rarely ask you all to do something for me, but I want you all to come out because I believe that's going to be a day of history. Amen. So are you ready for the word this morning? I'm ready to give it to you. So our theme for the year is a year of elevation and manifestation. Everybody say a year of elevation and manifestation. And I believe God is going to elevate us this year, and he's going to manifest the promises and the blessings that he has for our lives. And so last week, our message was entitled, It's Time to Go Up. So just look at somebody and tell them it's time to go up. Amen. And so today's message is a sequel to last week's message, so I need you to buckle your seatbelt because the ride is on the way. So if you're taking notes or if you need the notes, raise your hands and our ushers will give you a copy of the notes. But our lesson title this morning is The Altar is the Elevator. The altar is the elevator. And if I had to say it a different way, I would say going up requires sacrifice. Going up requires sacrifice. So Our text this morning is found in Genesis 22. It's about Abraham and Isaac and how God instructed Abraham to actually sacrifice his son. So we're going to jump right into this. It's a lot of reading, but I need you to track with me because the principles and the points that we're going to make today are coming out of the story. We also have to remember that there are many people who are getting saved online and at our church who may not have ever read or known the story. Faith doesn't come by having heard. It comes by what? Hearing. So it says in Genesis 22 verses 1, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham." That word tempt translates to the word test. "And God said to him, Abraham," and he says, "Behold, here am I." He said, "I want you to take your son, your only son, whom you love." I want you to pay attention to that. "And I want you to get out into the land of Moriah. And I want you to offer your only son that you love as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains." Everybody say, this took place in the mountains. Amen. So they had to go up, which I will tell you, verse 3, he says, "So Abraham rose up early in the morning." Abraham didn't even negotiate with God. He didn't even ask him any additional questions. The Bible says he got up the next morning. He saddled his donkey. He took two young men with him, Isaac, his son. He cut some wood for the burnt offering. They rose up and they went to the place that God told him. Verse 4. "Then on the third day," everybody say the third day. "On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place afar off. And so Abraham said to the young men," I want you to pay attention to what he says to them, "I want you to stay here with the donkeys and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. And then we'll come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering. He laid it up on Isaac, his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they both went up together. Verse 7. Isaac spoke to his father. He says, "Abraham," he says, "here I am, my son." He says, "Behold, I see the fire, father. I see the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Now, let me just point something out here. It's obvious that Isaac has seen his dad sacrifice before because he knew what the items to have a sacrifice entailed. And this is why it's so good for our kids to see us in church and worshiping and sacrificing. So he says, "I see the wood, I see the fire, but where's the sacrifice?" Watch now what Abraham says. He says, "My son, God will provide." Everybody say, "God will provide." "God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they both went together. They came to the place. Abraham built a what, church? He built an altar there. And he laid the wood in order. And he bound Isaac, his son. He laid him on the altar with the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand. He took the knife to slay him. And the angel of the Lord called him out of heaven and said, "Abraham," he says, "here am I." He says, "Lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God." How does he know that? "Because you did not withhold your son, your only son, from me." Verse 13. And so Abraham lifted up his eyes. He looked, and behold, behind him was a ram that was caught in the thicket by his horns. And so Abraham took the ram, offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Verse 14 says, "And Abraham called the name of that place," what, church? "Jehovah Jireh, as it is today. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." Verse 15. So the angel of the Lord now called Abraham out of heaven the second time. And he said, "By myself have I sworn, says the Lord, for because," everybody say because. "Because you have done this thing." Done what thing? "You have not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply you. Thy seed will be as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of its enemies." Last verse. "And in your seed shall all of the nations of the earth be blessed, because," watch this, "you have obeyed my voice." What a story. I wonder how many of us would sacrifice our only child if God asked us to? Well, guess what, church? He's asking some of you to do that. Now, I'm not saying sacrifice them on an altar with wood and a fire, but I am talking about sacrificing them in the sense where he wants you to give them to him so he can do something with them. So let's look at our first point this morning, and that is surrender comes before sacrifice. Everybody say surrender comes before sacrifice. In other words, there must be a surrender internally before sacrifice can be done externally. Okay, let me say it this way. Surrender must be done spiritually before the act of sacrifice is done physically. And here is why the order of that is so important. Sacrifice done without surrendering first produces sorrow. I'm going to say that again. See, if you try to sacrifice and offer God something, see, these idols that he's asking us to present and give to him, if you make the sacrifice without surrendering internally first, then that's going to produce sorrow. In other words, it's a picture of the law without the spirit. So here's the question as we jump into this. What does it mean to sacrifice? It means, watch this, to give up something of value for something or someone of greater value. That's what sacrifice is. It means to give up something that you and I value for something or someone, God in this case, of greater value. Everybody say surrender comes before sacrifice. So let's look at this in Genesis 22. I'm going to reread verses 1 and 2, but I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. It says, sometimes later, God tested Abraham's faith. Question, church, what was being tested? Abraham's faith. He says, Abraham, God called. Notice Abraham's answer was what? Yes, he replied, here I am. So here's the question, which is our point. What does surrender before sacrifice look like? Well, surrender comes before sacrifice. Watch this. When God gets a yes before he even has to ask for it. I'm going to say that again. What does surrender before sacrifice look like? Because again, if you try to sacrifice something and you haven't fully surrendered on the inside, you will feel sorrowful. You will feel like something was taken from you. You'll feel like it's lost. But if you surrender first, everybody say, you got to surrender first. You got to surrender first. Well, what does that look like? That looks like this. When you can give God a yes before he even asks you the question. And see, that's why I told you last week when God was leading me on the road to apostleship, I wasn't fully surrendered. Because if I was, I'd have just said yes right up front. And see, some of us are wrestling with yeses. Look at your neighbor and say, are you wrestling with a yes? So, surrender before sacrifice is when God gets a yes from us before he even has to ask. So verse 2, it tells us, God said to him, I want you to take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go sacrifice him as a burnt offering. Now, here's a research fact for you. This is something that Pastor Polo pointed out, which I thought was good this week. This word love that God said Abraham had for his son Isaac is the first time the word love is mentioned in the Bible. Now, you would think that God would have mentioned that he loved Adam and Eve. They were his first creation. Wouldn't you think that? Or you would have thought that God, when he created the world and caused the world to come into existence, and then, you know, it says that he looked at it and said it was very good. You would think that he would have said, you know, I love that. But no, this is the first time the word love is mentioned. And here's the definition of this word love. It means human love for another person, including family. Watch this now, because God's coming for you this morning. It also means, watch this now, human appetites for objects such as food, drink, sleep, and a love for or to God. So God, watch this now, you and I can love people, we can love family, but also that love is for things like food and drink and water and sleep. That sounds like a fast to me. So although God was asking Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, I believe God is asking us today, this week and this year, to sacrifice some things. And so there are two things that I want us to see out of what we just read. And the first one is a PowerPoint. You say, well, why are you calling it a PowerPoint? Because it has some power. So here's the first point that I want you to see out of this. Abraham had to lower his love for Isaac before he could lift the knife for God. I'm going to say that again. Abraham had to lower the love that he had for Isaac in order for him to lift the knife for God. In other words, let me say it this way. Before Abraham could lift the knife, he had to lower his love. He had to lower his love for Isaac. Watch this, church. To show his love for God. Because, see, our love for God is going to be tested. And see, this is where the excuse of, well, God knows my heart. You know, when we mess up or we ain't doing what God wants us to do. Well, he knows my heart. Well, here's the problem. He knows your heart, and that's why he's judging your heart by your actions. Hello? God's not judging us by our intentions like we do. I intended to be on time, but you were still late. Look, Abraham could have said, well, I intended to sacrifice my son, but I didn't really feel that's what God wanted me to do. And what's interesting is what God asked Abraham to do in terms of sacrificing Isaac, Jesus is asking us to do in the New Testament. Listen to Luke chapter 14, verse 25 in the King James. It says, and there went out a great multitude with Jesus, and he turned and he said to this multitude, if any man, touch your neighbor and say, you are any man. If any man comes to me, Jesus said, and if he doesn't hate his father and hate his mother and hate his wife and hate his children and hate his brothers and hate his sisters, yes, if he don't hate his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Wow. See, what God was asking of Abraham is the same thing Jesus is asking of us. You say, well, what is that, Pastor Evan? Here's what he's saying. We must love everyone and everything less than how we love him. Say amen to that. So that's the first thing I wanted you to see, is that Abraham had to lower his love in order for him to lift the knife. Here's the second thing. God, or going up, requires giving up. Going up requires giving up. In other words, going up requires a sacrifice because the altar is an elevator. See, the altar is the place where sacrifices are to be done. But what I want you to see today is that any sacrifice that God is requiring of us, regardless of what it is, as we obey him, it's only going to take our life up. And church, every sacrifice is going to cost you something, or it's not a sacrifice. 2 Samuel chapter 24 gives us a visual of what a sacrifice can cost. It says in verse 19, David went up to do what the Lord had commanded him because there was a plague among the people. And so God told David, I need you to go and make a sacrifice on the altar so I could keep stop the plague. And so verse 20, there was a man named Araunah who saw King David and his men coming toward him. And so he came and he bowed himself down. And verse 21, he asked the king, hey king, what do you need? And David, the king, replied, I have come to buy. Everybody say, I have come to buy. Say it again. Say it one more time. Let me ask you a question. When you buy something, does it cost you something? Absolutely. David says, hey, I came to buy some threshing floor to build an altar to the Lord so the plague will stop. And so this guy named Araunah says, well, my Lord, just take whatever you want. Here's some oxen for a burnt offering. And you can use the threshing boards and the ox yokes for wood, and you can build a fire. And I'll give it all to you, King. You don't have to buy it from me. And then you can sacrifice, and God will accept it. Look in verse 24. But the king replied to Araunah. He says, no, no, no. I insist on doing what, church? Buying it. Why? He says, because I will not present a burnt offering to the Lord my God that did not cost me nothing. Let me tell you something, church. Anytime God is requiring a sacrifice, it is going to cost you something. And so here are six areas that sacrificing may cost you. I'm going to run through these real fast. Here's the first area. Sacrificing is going to cost your flesh. You say, well, what about my flesh? Your flesh is that core you, that sinful you, that selfish you. Romans 12, 1, that's why it says, I beseech you, brethren, as by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, what kind of sacrifice? A living, not a dead sacrifice, but a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, because this is your reasonable service. Well, what's a living sacrifice? A living sacrifice is when your flesh is alive, but you don't let it get its way. So sacrificing is going to cost your flesh. Here's number two. Sacrificing can cost you some friends and family. Remember, God told Abraham earlier to leave his father's house and go where he was going to show him, to leave his family so he could receive God's promise. But I also want you to notice that in that story, Abraham and Isaac had to leave the two guys at the foot of the mountain. And if you notice and reference last week, I showed you that Peter, James, and John had to leave the other nine disciples in order for them to go up the mountain. And so sacrificing is going to cost you some friends and some family. Here's the third area. Sacrificing can cost you some feelings. Now, I'm going to put this in the pride arena, because pride is bringing down your way in order for you to do it God's way. Here's number four. Sacrificing can cost you some finances. Why? Because if God is not getting the first of your financial increase, it's time for you to reprioritize him, which means that it's going to cost you something. Here's number five. It can cost you some freedom. You say, well, freedom, Pastor? I thought Jesus came for me to be free. He did. But did you know that your freedom can cause you to come into bondage? Yeah. Amen. You're free to drink. Until now, you are a drunkard. 1 Corinthians 6:12 in the Amplified, Paul says, everything is permissible for me. In fact, the King James says, all things are lawful to me. But he says, but not all things are beneficial. Everything is permissible for me. I can do what I please. He says, but I will not be enslaved by anything and brought under its power, allowing it to control me. And some of us have allowed our privileges to bring us into bondage. I dare you now to stop drinking for a month and see what happens. But it ain't wrong to drink. I know, but my question to you is, has drinking that you were free to do, has it now produced bondage for you? I got an amen from that roach right over there by that speaker. Amen, roach. Here's number six. Sacrificing, here's one for this week, is going to cost you some food. Because I want to challenge you this week to do a real fast. None of this Daniel. You can do what you want to do. But I'm saying, let's just do a Jesus fast. Jesus had water. We don't even know if he had water. But we do know he didn't have no food for 40 days. Now, he's not asking us to do 40. Neither am I asking you to do 40. Because if I did 40... you would probably be visiting me in the cemetery. But what I do know is that you are not going to die without food for 2 days. So if you've never fasted one whole day, 24 hours, not this sun up and sundown stuff. I'm talking about 24 hours. If you've never done that, I want to challenge you to fast one day. And if you've done one day before, I want to challenge you now to do 2 days. And if you've never done, and I'm not talking about coffee, Sprite, Dr. Pepper, Coke, no, water, that's two words, water. If you've done 2 days, I want you to go 3 days. And if you've done 3 days, I want you to go. Now listen, I know you said, well, Pastor, that's extreme. I want to be extremely blessed. I don't know about you. Do you know that you will stay where average people are if you do what average people do? Amen. Everybody say surrender. Comes before sacrifice. Here's point number two. This is so good right here. Sacrifice requires faith. Sacrifice requires faith. For the believer, faith should be a lifestyle and not a life jacket. It's not something that we throw to save. Oh, God, please help me. No, no, no. Faith should be a lifestyle. And the Bible tells us that Abraham is the father of faith. Genesis chapter 22, verse 7. We're going to see now how the only reason Abraham was ready and willing to kill his son is because he had faith. Genesis 22, 7, it says, and Isaac spoke to his father and says, Father, he says, here I am, my son. He says, behold, I see the fire, I see the wood. Where is the lamb? And watch this faith talk. He says in verse 8, and Abraham said, son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And so they both went together. So watch this. There are two things that I want you to see from this. The first thing is sacrifice requires faith talk and faith walk. Everybody say a faith walk and faith talk. Now see, you can have faith talk and not have a faith walk. I know people like that. They talk faith, but they don't walk faith. How many know some people like that? They talk faith, but they ain't walking faith, right? All right, well, if you didn't have your hand up, you might be the person that talk it and ain't walking it. But this story that we read about Abraham is also listed in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 11. Listen to what it says in the ERV version. God tested Abraham's faith. God told him to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. Abraham did what, church? Abraham obeyed. Why did he obey? Read it with me. Because he had faith. Why did Abraham obey? Because he had faith. Abraham obeyed because he had faith. He already had the promises from God, and God had already said to him, it is through Isaac that your descendants will come. But Abraham was ready to offer his only son. Read this with me. He did this because he had faith. He believed God, verse 19 says, he believed that God could raise people from death. And really, when God stopped Abraham from killing Isaac, it was as if he got him back from the dead. So we can see here that one of the reasons Abraham was willing to obey God is because he was willing to exercise his faith. Say amen to that. Amen. Here's the second thing that I want you to notice about what happened there is that sacrifice doesn't deplete me because God's supply will replete me. I'm going to say that again. Because sometimes when we hear the word sacrifice, the first thing we think of is loss. But based on what we read, sacrifice didn't deplete Abraham. Sacrifice repleted Abraham. Why? Because God himself provided the sacrifice that he asked Abraham to give. Say amen to that. And so he says, he told his son in verse 8, God will provide himself a lamb. Now, I want you to notice that Abraham's mouth and Abraham's movement were in agreement. What he said is what he did. So here's a take-home thought. Faith that stays silent will stay stagnant. You cannot have active faith if you don't have an active mouth. I'm going to say that again. You can't have active, everybody say active faith. See, we all have faith, but some of us, we have stagnant faith. We have dead faith. It's not working. You know why your faith is not working? Because your mouth ain't working. If faith comes by hearing, somebody needs to be talking. The problem is we're not talking faith talk. We're talking fear talk. We're talking frustration talk. We're talking hurting. We're talking pain, and we're talking problems. That's what's coming out of our mouth. But faith will stay stagnant if we don't speak. So if your confession is not followed by action, you're not in faith. You're in hope. Amen. Now watch this. Abraham didn't have any physical evidence that God was going to raise Isaac from the dead. But he did have spiritual evidence. Now you say, well, what does he mean? He had confidence in the spiritual promise that God had made. Now I'm about to say something right here that can shift your life. In fact, touch your neighbor and say, pay attention right now. Because see, what I need you to catch. See, some things can be taught and some things can be caught. I need you to catch what I'm about to say right now. Because, watch this now, what I'm about to say is going to show you how the spirit of faith works. The promise that God made to Abraham that he would multiply his seed, watch this, was all the evidence that Abraham needed to know that God was going to raise Isaac from the dead. Everybody say the spiritual promise. See, because in the kingdom church, faith is the currency that makes the kingdom works. Just like the dollar bill or the currency in our world is what causes the world financially to work, well, faith is the currency in the kingdom. And Abraham, watch this, he took the promise that God had made. Let me say it like this. He took the faith receipt of God's word, believed it, and that's how he knew that God would raise Isaac from the dead, because he already had gotten a promise from God. God had told him, from your seed, I'm going to multiply and make a great nation out of it. So in Abraham's brain, he said, well, if God's going to make a great nation out of my seed and he's asking me to sacrifice my seed, that means God's going to have to raise my seed up from the dead, because he told me he was going to make a great nation out of it. Are you all with me? So watch this now. Faith, everybody say faith. Faith is all the evidence that we need. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 may read differently now to you, because it says, now faith is the substance of what? Things hoped for. But watch this though. But it says faith is also the evidence of what I can't see. So if I'm believing God for something that I don't have and that I can't see, the only thing I need to bring that thing to pass is some faith, because the faith becomes my evidence that what I'm believing for is coming. Right? In other words, listen to the Amplified Version. It says, now faith is the assurance. It's the title deed. It's the confirmation. I'm going to add this. It's the spiritual receipt of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed. And faith is the evidence of things not seen. And it's the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. So I'm going to try to give you a modern day parable of how to understand faith is all you need to operate in the kingdom. So I went out to lunch. Put this lunch receipt up there for me, okay? I went out to lunch this week with a member, and I went to my favorite place called Luna Grill. Now, if you haven't been to Luna Grill, I encourage you to go and visit. They're not paying me for this advertisement. But if you notice, the receipt is very detailed. It tells us the name of the restaurant, where it's located, the phone number, the date, and even the time that we went to lunch. It spells out everything, as you notice. I ate well. I ate the grilled salmon plate, which included a salad. And if you keep all the way down, it gives a total. I tipped, and it gave the amount, right? In other words, what I'm showing you, watch this, is the receipt of what I desired. So now what I'm about to do, because just like this receipt spells out what I purchased and what faith receipts look like, I want to show you now the faith receipt that Abraham had. So pull up Abraham's faith receipt. Abraham's faith receipt is the word of God. Because in Genesis 12, now let me ask you a question. We've been reading out of Genesis 22. Does 12 come before 22? Look at your neighbor and say, you need to know math right now. I'm going to ask you one more time, because this side over here looks like they need to pull their calculator out. Let me ask you a question. Does 12 come before 22?
Absolutely. So we're about to read now a faith receipt that God gave to Abraham. Watch this. Before he asked him in chapter 22 to sacrifice his son. Well, let's read what this receipt says. Now, the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your kindred, and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you. And I will make of you a what kind of nation? A great nation. And I'm going to bless you, and your name is going to be great, and you're going to be a blessing. I will bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. Jump down now to verse 7. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, unto your what? Unto your what? Okay, what's another word for seed? Offspring. What's another word for offspring? Children. He's saying, unto your children will I give this land. And there Abraham did what? Build an altar. So let me ask you a question. If God promised him in chapter 12 that he was going to cause his seed to be multiplied and that his seed was going to inherit the earth, because Abraham knew this receipt, he was able in chapter 22 to carry out what God was asking him to do, because he knew that if God is asking me to sacrifice this, he's asking me to sacrifice something that I love. Watch this. That means God's going to have to raise him up for this promise to take place. Everybody say, a faith promise will require a sacrifice of obedience. Amen. It's going to require a sacrifice. And a sacrifice, watch this, church, is never about the thing we are sacrificing. It's actually about our obedience to God. So get your eyes off of what he's asking you to sacrifice. It's really not the sacrifice that he's looking at. He's looking at our obedience to him. In Genesis chapter 22 now, verse 12, he got ready to kill his son, and the Bible says, an angel came and said, lay not that hand on the lad, neither do anything to him, for now I know. Wow. You would have thought that God knew that Abraham feared him when he left his father and his mother. But listen, church, let me just say this to you. Every promise requires another yes of obedience. So, it says in verse 18, and in thy seed shall all the nations be blessed, which brings us now, watch this, because he obeyed God's voice. So look at verse 3, because this is good. Sacrifice releases the supernatural. See, this is the thing that we got to understand about sacrifice. It's not just a physical thing that's happening. It's a spiritual thing. And anytime you and I sacrifice based on what God is asking us to do, something supernatural happens. We can see that in now verse 13 of Genesis 22. Abraham lifted up his eyes, and behold, he saw a ram caught in the thicket. And Abraham went and he took the ram and he offered that. And verse 14 now is going to give us some insight into how sacrifice produces the supernatural. It says, and Abraham called the name of that place what? Jehovah Jireh. Everybody say sacrifice releases a supernatural. So watch this now. Supernatural provision always follows sacrifice. You know why? Because God supplies the sacrifice he requests. Now, let me tell you what's interesting. When he said Jehovah Jireh, did you know that that's the first and the last time that word Jehovah Jireh was ever used in the Bible? Think about that. The word Jehovah Jireh, which means God what? Provides. He's using that word Jehovah Jireh the first time and the only time in the Bible. Now you may be thinking, well, Pastor, what's so significant about that? You know what that means? That means God's supernatural provision, God's ability to supply, which is Jehovah Jireh, watch this, is only connected to sacrificial obedience. Did y'all get that? I'm gonna have to wake some. Look at your neighbor and say, if you go to napping, I'm gonna go to slapping. Listen. What's significant about that is God's supernatural provision, because we know that ram just happened to show up. That supernatural provision was connected, watch this, to his sacrificial obedience, which says now the supernatural is released from sacrifice. Now, let me give you three examples. We're not going to read it, but 1 Kings chapter 17, the widow who was running out of food, her oil was about to run dry. Once she gave the man of God the first of her meal, the Bible says, and she ate for many days. In other words, her sacrifice produced supernatural supply. Remember Solomon? He sacrificed 1,000 burnt offerings, but after he did that, supernatural wisdom and riches and honor came to Solomon. Remember Jesus? What did he do? He sacrificed his life. But because he sacrificed his life, watch this now, supernatural provision for salvation is now available. So now, what do you and I need to do so that supernatural provision can take place in our life? We're going to have to sacrifice. You say, well, Pastor, I don't like the sacrifice message. This is too deep for me. My question to you is, what is he asking you to sacrifice? What are the idols? Because today there are some people that weren't here last week that I'm going to give you an opportunity to write on a piece of paper what your idols are. You're going to put them in the bucket in the back. And then on Tuesday, they're going to video me burning them. So I'm giving those who didn't show up last week an opportunity. The question is, what is God asking you to give up? Now, for some of us, I'm going to say 99% of us, I know for a fact he's asking us to sacrifice some food this week. Look at your neighbor and say, you 99%, you 99%. Now, the 1% of people, you know, they may, you know, the doctors told you not to do that or all of that. But don't give yourself an excuse. I ate good this week because I knew I was going to lose weight this week. I did. I ate everything I could. I did. I ate dessert. I ate fried chicken. I don't even do the fried chicken, but I ate some yesterday. Because I knew I was going to have to sacrifice. I knew I was going to lose some weight this week. But what I tell you, let me tell you what's going to happen this week. When God sees us, listen, church. When God sees us sacrificing something that we love, he is going to release supernatural provision. So what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? What is God asking you to lay down on the altar to sacrifice? What is keeping you from trusting God at this level, a new level? What is he trying to get you to stop trusting yourself on and start trusting him on? Here's one of the things I want you to do this week. I literally want you to tell somebody how many days you're going to fast. Go on and tell them. Call them up, text them, and say, hey, listen, I'm going 3 days fasting. So now, on day two, when your stomach growling, beating you up on the inside like Mike Tyson, and your flesh is convincing you that you're going to die, your conscience will say, well, you know you told your girlfriend you're going 3 days. So that's going to help you be accountable. Tell somebody this week. And then last but not least, surrender to idol. So let me summarize in one sentence what I believe God is saying. I believe God is saying, in order to see elevation and manifestation in 2026 for your life, you're going to have to sacrifice some things that I want you to sacrifice. But as you sacrifice, I will supply. And when I supply, supernatural provision is going to take place in your life. That's what I believe God is saying. And so there are some people in the room, in fact, with every head bowed and every eye closed. What is God saying to you right now? What is the Holy Spirit saying? It's time for sacrifice. But here's the beautiful thing. It produces supernatural
provision. Some of you need to put your children on the altar and keep them there. Some of you need to put your flesh on the altar and let God consume it so you can raise the holiness in your life. There are some people that need to put their financial habits on the altar because shopping has been an idol. Soon as you feel down, you're getting down. Next thing you know, you're pulling out the card. Some of you, he's asking you to sacrifice your thoughts because they dominate your life. And some of them are not thoughts that God would want you to have, but you obey them anyway because your thoughts are an idol of itself. Do you know you can take something and idolize it? The thing itself is not the idol, but you made it an idol because you idolized it. And anything that causes us to sin, and anything that causes us to stop trusting God, we have idolized. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you're not saved, I want to pray for you. You say, what do you mean? If you died and you're not sure you'd go to heaven, I want to pray.